At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in, because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
Finding the right furniture for my home can be hard, especially when I'm looking for trendy, high-quality pieces that won't break the bank. Luckily, at Bob's Discount Furniture, I can shop the latest styles and customer favorites with tons of five-star reviews, like Bob's Real Marble Elm Dining Set, which has over 600 five-star reviews, the Copper Radiance Mattress, which over 400 Bob's customers say will give you five-star sleep, the ultra-comfy Phantom Reclining Sofa, which boasts over 1,000 five-star reviews, and the customizable modular Bob's Sectional, which not only costs just $250 per piece, but has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So when you're ready to score five-star style for every room in your home at everyday low prices, listen to the smartest shoppers around and stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Showtime. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Are you ready?
Ready.
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
Here's where we are with this show right now. I tried for 4.5 years, Bob and Jeff. It's now Bob. I control everything, pal.
Jeff Lutz.
Like the harsh realities of life are slapping you in the face right now, and I don't think you can handle it.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Are we still on?
Stand by for action.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz co-hosting. Max Power, producing, engineering, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline.
I can tell you're not in a great mood, but I'm going to bring this up anyway. What in the world are you chewing on?
I made a mistake. I put in a few milk duds before the show. Big mistake, and I was chewing...
It takes an hour to chew two of those.
I was chewing like crazy, trying to get it done. Can you just talk for 5 minutes?
I wish I could, but something has gone horribly wrong here. They're going to get stuck to your teeth. You really don't even make a dent in milk duds by biting on them or chewing on them. You just kind of have to wait for them to sort of melt away. And I'd just probably go ahead and spit
that out. That was a big mistake, and I calculated... Do I have enough time? And I obviously miscalculated.
Well, it's only a two-hour show. And milk duds are notoriously slow.
Could you please talk?
Chew, and who knows how long they take to digest.
You know one thing I hate is unsolicited attacks on social media.
Who attacked?
I remember the guy the other day, our friend Todd Deering, who took a shot at you, and I don't... Listen, that's fine.
Of course.
But when you attack me...
What's Todd's problem? Does he just maybe need to stop listening to the show?
Todd's fine. Todd's a good listener.
You sure?
Yeah.
If he hates both of us...
He likes the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
So he strongly suggested I go see the Eagles. He saw the Dead experience.
Right, the Dead and Company with John Mayer and some of the Grateful Dead members.
Yeah.
Are you still?
So here's a guy named Duke Smith Media. No avatar. He's got 3 followers.
Well, then who is he?
Nothing against Duke.
He doesn't sound like he has much of a media presence either. Unless that's his last name or something.
He's reacting to Todd Dehring's criticism of you for not watching games. And he said, this is why Bruce Hurdle carried that old morning show. He knew what he was talking about and actually cared about what the people wanted to hear.
Well, he did watch every game televised, so that was a plus for him.
He watched every game that wasn't televised.
He sure
had an uncanny ability.
He was on in the station, so he's good.
Now, Duke, nobody asked you.
I don't know.
Or
did they?
Is the way this works now, everybody asks you.
I think that's it. I think it's just you can put your opinion out there. And it doesn't really matter. Are you still... is this going to be the theme of the entire show, is you trying to get through these milk duds? Why doesn't... do you think Duke... I mean, Duke probably stopped listening. Is he just out there waiting for somebody to attack one of us? And, oh, thank God, now I can finally pile on.
Never heard from Duke Smith Media before.
I'd like to know his media outlet.
I don't know. I've never heard of what he has going on in the media. He's certainly entitled to have opinions.
Sure.
But I just don't know that you need to share them.
No, nobody needs to share their opinion. That's one big fallacy that social media has produced. Anyone thinking they need to even share their opinion.
Although I shared my opinions for many years.
Yeah, well, people presumably paid some money. I don't know why, but there was a subscription.
So why can't he share his? It's a conundrum. That's the world of social media. I think the day that this country started to change is when newspapers added comment sections.
Well, there is that whole
or
thing.
Letters. We've always had letters to the editor.
Those have
but
been.
Those were edited. Those were usually quality, well thought out.
Well, and that devolved into the opinion line, which wasn't really well thought out or quality, and just, you know, it devolves from there. We're not getting better as a society at finding ways and mediums to share our opinion. We're just having more and being louder about them, which is fine. Good for everybody.
There, the milk duds are gone.
Finally.
So, I grew up, I was thinking about this today, or yesterday, one of the days. I grew up as a kid just infatuated with sports. Every second of my day, I followed sports. It really didn't matter. Baseball, basketball were certainly the two at the forefront, but I was enamored by sports, and it was imperative that I find a way for a career that had something to do with sports. Of course, I wanted to play, but that didn't happen.
No.
So I went down this road of media and radio and print and just using all the knowledge that I accumulated, the vast knowledge.
Yeah.
No, I'm not saying that.
It's average knowledge.
No, it's more than average.
It's standard knowledge.
I was immersed in sports like no other kid in my school. I could do things like on bus trips. You could ask me who's Jerry Paglioni play for, and I could tell you. But I went down
who
that
did he
road.
Play for?
And well, all I want to do is talk and write about sports.
Did you ask people to ask you who people you knew who they played for?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's like you playing basketball in the backyard.
No, they had a newspaper, and they just went down the box scores.
Oh, so here's Boston's box score.
No.
Who did
pick the name at random from all the box scores.
Well, that makes sense. Let's try that today.
I couldn't do it. There's no one place to peruse box scores.
You have to make a little effort.
Daily newspaper presented.
MLB app.
You understand what I'm saying?
Go to a game from yesterday. I'll give you a relatively easy one.
So in those days, you could just go through every box score in the paper that morning. and the late West Coast games would appear the following day. And the Sporting News ran box scores for 2 weeks' worth of games in every edition. And I just studied
too much. Who does Ernie Clement play for?
Toronto.
Yeah, see, you got it.
You didn't know that. You wouldn't have known that.
Of course I would have.
No, you wouldn't.
He played for Cleveland 2 years ago. Of course I know where he ended up.
Then let me ask you one.
Well, I probably won't get it. But again, I wasn't really trying to give you someone that was impossible.
Well, but
Ernie Clement's been around.
You tried to make it hard.
Not that hard.
What do you mean not that hard? He's not even a regular with them.
He's played a lot this year. And he's been around. He was with Oakland. He was with Cleveland. He's now with Toronto.
You don't know anything about him.
I know plenty about Ernie Clement.
Okay, let me ask you one.
He had a home run once.
Are you ready?
Like an important one, I think. Go ahead.
All right, here you go. Shea Whitcomb.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know who Shea Whitcomb is. Let's say he plays... he probably plays for someone in the National League. Probably the National League. I'll say the Marlins.
Plays for the Astros.
Gosh darn it.
Batting seventh in their lineup today.
That's interesting. We might have to deal with him.
In an important game.
Yeah. Doesn't mean he's good. Or doesn't
no,
mean,
I mean
I need...
he's, but he's a starter. I didn't ask you. The ninth guy on the bench.
Sure. Would you have gotten
Shea
Whitcomb?
So my point is, I did all this stuff, wanting to be a sports writer, wanting to maybe be on the radio, just doing my thing, and now I got to get criticized?
Nah, that guy doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm not going to take it too seriously. Or am I?
I don't know.
Have you peeked in our kitchen?
No, I didn't know I was allowed to. I'll peek in at a later date.
It is.
And there's been progress made.
Well, there's been progress if you call ripping everything out progress.
I guess that's the start of the progress. That's the foundation for progress.
It's all gone. Now the tile floor in the dining room, it's like getting, it's very difficult to rip that stuff out. So tomorrow there's going to be three guys on that.
Wow.
Requires a special machine.
Crazy.
All kinds of stuff.
Crazy what this house will endure over the next 7 weeks to produce what we all assume will be a pristine product. Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, there's a photo of it. A little different floor than what this is. But yeah, it's going to look good.
Can't wait. What are we going to do for Bad Blood?
Well, we're not having it here.
We're not?
No.
Goodness.
Of course not. I don't have a kitchen.
Okay.
You are aware of that, right?
I'm aware, but do you just not watch television, or what do you
do? Have you seen our living room?
Not really.
Do you look? Do you observe anything?
Not really, no.
You make me sometimes just want to start crying.
Why?
Because you're so oblivious, and you're so...
You don't watch TV upstairs.
I'm not going to have I don't have a room for a room full of people.
It's only like five.
Everything we own, everything from our kitchen is in our living room.
Right, I put it in there. I didn't know that there you were talking about something additional.
Yeah.
Relax, man.
Well, I just don't get it sometimes.
I told you.
Are you going to do Bad Blood if we're talking about WWE event? I don't have a kitchen and my living room's taken up.
Fine. That's wonderful then. No Bad Blood.
My God.
I'll get with the fellas and see what they like to do.
Good. I won't lose a minute of
sleep. Probably won't have it at my house. That's next weekend. I don't know what I got going on next weekend.
I won't lose a minute of sleep.
Certainly won't be in a playoff game
about
because...
not seeing Bad Blood.
Because we have advanced to the ALDS.
Here's what we have on the show today. And who are you going to play? Houston?
Houston or... Kansas City, probably.
Oh, boy. I'd love for
that
you
would
to
be,
play.
Yeah, Houston
now,
or
Houston's
Kansas.
Now, Houston's going to play.
They're the three, so they'll play either Kansas City or Detroit.
Yeah, Houston's going to play Detroit.
Or Kansas City. They're tied.
It won't be Kansas City.
Why?
Because I said it won't.
So they're going to surpass Detroit.
Here's what we have for you on the show today. Monty Lewis, the head football coach at Winfield, The Vikings are 3-0. You know, Monty just went in there. Used to coach for a long time at Southwestern. Then he went to Friends, had a successful run there. He went to Winfield 3 or 4 years ago, took over a program. I'm trying to think of when Winfield's been viable in football. And I couldn't think of a time where they we'll get with Monty, and he'll tell us. But
what
I don't
you consider viable.
Well, a playoff team, a team that had winning records.
Well, let me check on that.
I don't think Winfield's been viable for a while, but they are right now. They're 3-0, and we'll talk to Monty Lewis, their head coach, at 2:45. Mike Furches will join us to talk pop culture. And then in hour number two at 3:25, Terry Nooner, the head women's basketball coach at Wichita State. We have no show tomorrow due to the Royals finishing up their series in Washington. And then Friday it'll be Jeff and Jason Duda. We will make picks on Friday.
Going to probably have to do that top of the hour Friday.
Well, I'll see if I'm around.
Winfield won a playoff game in 2019.
Really?
Do you know who their coach was?
No.
It's a pretty good run of coaches, the last two anyway, for Winfield. They had Lynn Hibbs. I don't think I knew that at all.
Don't think I did either.
Yeah, but before that, it's been a 7-4 in 2013. They've had a year here and there where they were okay, but nothing sustained.
Even when I was in high school, Winfield wasn't very good in football.
Do you remember who their coach was?
They had some good basketball and baseball squads.
Do you remember who their football coach was in 1973?
I do not. I was in high school then.
Well, it was 73 through 77.
Don't remember.
Kinda right in line. Bill Orth.
Who later had some success at Liberal and Goddard.
Yeah, in your time at Derby, they were not good. 2-7.
What do you mean my time at Derby?
4-5, 1-8.
72, we were good.
I'm talking about Winfield.
Oh, well, that's what I said.
Yeah, I was looking at. I like looking at this yearly.
Well, check Derby out.
Well, I know Derby's been good. Why would I need to check Derby?
The coach during my time in Derby was the one and only James Davey.
Well, I presumed that you could probably pull that. What about the coach at Ark City during your time?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I can
he was there for a long time.
I can kind of picture him. Ron Hill?
No, it was Dean Gilstrap.
Now, that's a little before my time.
Ron Hill began in 1977.
There you go. Well, at least I got that, right?
Yeah, sure. And this is stuff that... Brewster, whatever his name, Duke Brewster, what is his name? Says people don't care about. I eat this up.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
He says we don't talk about stuff people care about.
I don't know that they care about.
And
that.
I think going back 50 years to name high school coaches is something.
I don't think, I'm not sure people care about that.
If they do, they do. If they don't, they don't.
It's remarkable to me that the passage of time kind of erases things, because I just mentioned Jim Davey, and at one time Jim Davey was the man, and I hope some people, Weston remembers him. He played for him at Southeast. There are people who remember him still.
Of course.
He went on to be on Jim Dickey's staff at K-State and passed away about 10 years ago, maybe longer. It's hard to know, but Jim Davey was an old-school football coach. When you think of a football coach, and they're yelling and screaming and getting emotional and getting in your face, that's Jim Davey.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I'm trying to think of what I think of that. I think it's fine. I think everybody probably was that way back in the early 1970s. That's how a lot of football coaches coached, because it was a tougher game then, a grittier game than it is now, for sure.
And then his right-hand man, Dennis Cavalier, another incredible coach, was kind of the good cop to the bad cop. They work together in that way. And fascinating to watch. They later went together to Southeast High School and built that dynasty. The best high school football program I ever had anything to do with in terms of covering was Southeast, followed very closely by Capen. That all happened in the mid to late 70s. At the same time, City League basketball was at its highest level ever. That's the book, my friend. That's the book.
Well, write it. Get on it.
Let me think about that for a minute. As one of my old school people, call me.
Call you now?
Yeah. 869-1240. Well, I consider Chris Davis to be old school.
You think he's listening?
Don't know. He sometimes does. Weston wasn't around then. Weston was playing in that era. Weston Schartz we're talking about. Yeah.
Do you know who preceded Jim Davey at Derby High School?
Gosh, what was that guy's name? Jim Bourne? Or give me the first name. Give me the first name.
I'm getting there, but I was, yeah, that's who it was.
Jim Bourne.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, Jim Davey wasn't even there your entire high school career.
Just he was there years. My sophomore, junior, and freshman year.
Just two.
70, 71, and 72.
This has Jim Bourne in 70.
Yeah, maybe he was. I don't know. And then think I can remember 19...
And then Tom McVay in 73.
Tom McVay followed Jim Davey.
Who followed Tom McVay?
Tom Young.
If that's true, that's true. They have not had a lot of coaches.
No, Tommy McVay became a pretty solid friend of mine.
Tom Young went all the way to 04, and then two coaches, Aslan and Bliss, and then 06, Brandon Clark took over the ship.
Royals get one last night, extra innings. They finally pushed across the run with some help from the Nationals. Beat them 1-0, had to scratch and claw for that one.
Yeah, it was a run. They scored an extra inning. So who knows if a runner hadn't started on second base when a run would have ever scored in that
Tigers,
game.
Tigers won, of course. And Minnesota, of course, did not win. They're now two out. They're going to miss the playoffs. And Rocco Baldelli is going to get fired.
Probably, yes.
And the general manager might even get fired. Derek Palvin or what?
Palvi.
That's going to be a disaster.
It's not going to go well, and they slash payroll and try to do all these things. I think they have a good future from what I've seen come through Wichita and some of their young players, but it was not good this year. They couldn't figure out how to blend that all together.
Not good for the Minnesota Twins at the moment. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Monty Lewis, head football coach at Winfield. They are off to a 3-0 start. Stay with us.
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you finally have a free day out on the town. You're about to enjoy a nice lunch when you get the alert that a window's been broken at home and you're miles away. These are the wake-up calls that remind us, in 1 second, everything can change. ADT security systems are built for those moments. They help keep your home safer with 24/7 monitoring. No one wants to feel unsafe at home or vulnerable when you're away. And with ADT, you won't. Their systems are professionally installed by trained technicians, so you can trust them to watch out for your home from day one. ADT has the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry, and the ADT Plus app lets you keep tabs on your home from anywhere you have service. You'll get the alerts that matter about your home safety. Don't wait to prepare your home for an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com. That's ADT.com. Or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP. That's 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Show on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
All right, we are back, getting ready to talk with Monty Lewis. That's Hey Big Brother from Rare Earth, making hay week here on the show, like musically. Him. Here is our friend Monty Lewis. Winfield off to a 3-0 start. Ark Valley Chisholm Trail Division 3. They have a big game coming up on Friday at McPherson. Monty, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, and it's really good to be with you, my old buddy.
Well, we're happy to have you, and you know, I'm just intrigued when an old football coach goes to a place that hasn't had a lot of success, and I think Winfield would qualify. You certainly know that community well from your time at Southwestern, and here you are in 2024. It's taken some time, as it obviously was going to do. So the 3-0, how indicative is that of the quality of your football team? Do you know yet?
Well, we kind of do. Bob, you know the drill. It, you know, everything's a process. And we've been pointing towards this year, you know, kind of still look at everything kind of, you know, that four-year cycle. And, you know, a little disappointed we didn't make a little more noise last year. We were in position to. And lost a playoff game first round that we should have handled, you know, having the lead and then giving it up late. But what I've told the community and told people that care about Viking football is that we're on schedule. And so am I completely shocked? No. That we're 3-0? No. But I know it could all, it's fleeting. And you know that, brother. I mean, it can take off and leave you, but we built to this point, or for this point, this juncture in the program. But, you know, I honestly know two things for sure about our football team. We'll play physically. You know, that took some time to establish, but we'll play physically for 48 minutes, and we'll play very hard. What I don't quite know, and our coaching staff doesn't quite know, is will we keep the focus that's needed? That's absolutely a must, and we've shown signs that we're, you know, laser focus, and then we'll drift and wander a bit. And I put that on me. I've got to figure out the right button to keep that on high beam.
So you've been in high school coaching for a little while. You coached last at Friends in 2016, so it's been 8 years, and we know that college athletes are different now than they were 8 years ago, and you have to coach them differently. How differently do you have to coach today's high school athlete than you did in college, you know, a decade or so ago?
Well, I've changed a little bit, and I say a little. There's just some things about the game that you guys have heard me say this before. It's a sacred game to me, but I have to keep reference that some of these kids are boys. Now, we've got, as they progress through the program, they are young men. but they're boys initially, and so I've got to keep reminding myself of that with the younger crews that come up from our middle school program, that they haven't heard a lot of the things that I will say to them, and with the conviction, I think is a better way to put it, that I state things to them. But, you know, I'm still pretty intense. I'm getting up there a little bit. You know, I'm not coming up 18, but I'm on the back nine. And so, you know, maybe I've slowed a little bit physically, but my intensity hasn't waned. And I think that's the biggest adjustment that young players have to make. And certainly this cycle of high school from freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. See, these seniors were my freshmen my first year here. So they've been exposed to this in our coaching staff. But I do have to be a little bit more careful. I got to watch how far I go when I'm harshly correcting somebody. But I don't think I've ever reached a point where I've been unfair. And you guys know me. If I cross a line with a young man, I'll be the first to apologize and make sure his family knows it. And it's not something that has occurred to a point where it's chronic or anything. But you do have to kind of watch it. I'm pretty quick to hug that neck, you know, and even pop them on the cheek. You know, that's the way I've always been. But it's making them understand that when you cross over to the practice field, whatever's going on in your life stays on the other side of this little bridge we walk over on the way to the practice field. And when we hit the game, you know, stadium for the game, it's the same thing. So, you know, I've changed a little bit, not a lot, but I think I have acquired at least a little bit of wisdom to know when I can push a button really hard and when I need to just back up and say, hey, come here, son, let's talk about this and let's see if we can fix whatever's going on a different way. But I'm still pretty intense, guys.
Well, nobody ever doubted that. Monty Lewis, our guest, head football coach at Winfield. I liked your golf course analogy. So I guess I'd say I'm hitting my approach shot on number 16, Monty.
Hey,
that's probably
works.
Where I am.
As long as you understand, I'm probably hitting into you.
So we've talked about you being 3-0. You opened with a big win at Arc City. Of course, Winfield, Arc City, nobody needs to explain what a big rivalry that is.
Yeah.
But you've got a really tough stretch of games coming up now with McPherson, Circle, Wellington, and Bueller. Do your kids know that? Do you need to tell them that? Do you even talk about that, or how do you approach this kind of big part of your season?
You know, we don't talk about it. I really believe the guys do understand it's 1-0 after Friday. Excuse me, guys. I'm sorry. Hang on a moment.
All those announcements.
Yeah. I apologize for that. But, no, it says I keep the 1-0 after Friday approach on our scouting report. And now I'm hearing our senior leaders, and we have 7 outstanding captains, and they're seniors, and they take it upon themselves. There just really has it. And I listen for it, guys. I do. I mean, I keep my office goes right out into our locker room, and I keep the door cracked. And because I want to know if they're like, boy, Bueller, did you watch any of their film? Oh, did you? We can't look over the fence. And that's something I learned a long, long time ago. But preventing it's difficult. But really, these guys seem to just be focused 1 week at a time. And, you know, we kind of feel like we owe McPherson. You want to be, I'm always going to be honest with you. You know, we lost an overtime game up there, and last year we lost on a last-second field goal. And so I felt like we've been pretty even, and the games could have come out in our favor. But, again, I hang that on me. There was something, you know, I could have done something to help us win those games, and it got past me. But the guys realize that it's – I mean, come on, McPherson's one of the blue-blood programs in the state. They're traditionally – very good. And, you know, it takes a heck of an effort to get a win. and we're not focusing so much on who they've played this year. It's just watching personnel, watching, you know, their defense, offense, what they're trying to establish. And it's kind of like when we were playing Augusta last week. I didn't care what their record was. You know, Augusta can jump up and beat people, and they've scored some points. And so, you know, it's being here right now kind of with the guys. Is we can't worry about who's next except for what's up, you know, teed up for us on Friday with McPherson. And they're still McPherson in my book, and we're playing them at home, their place. You know, so you walk in a touchdown underdog.
So you've said a couple times now that's on me. And, you know, we hear coaches say that a lot, and it's a way of taking responsibility and leadership and everything like that. But I'll play it out. So when you feel like something is on you, is that something that you know going into a game? Like, man, we really could have prepped for this and just didn't get to it this week, and I maybe missed that one. Or do you see it usually after the game and it's on tape where, man, we could have done that? Which way does that usually go? And then what do you do? What's the next step for you in trying to fix something, generally speaking?
Well, and I do. I look at it more from the offensive side because I have a trusted defensive coordinator in Andrew Brin as much as I had with Matt Welch all those years, and Andrew has autonomy with the defense. So my focus can go directly, usually number one, special teams. If there's an issue that I saw or something that was coming, my gut feeling, and I didn't follow it, or I overdid it, you know, with something that I saw in an adjustment, and it hurt us. And then obviously it goes to offense, you know. And having done this 40 years now, this is my 40th year coaching, I can play it back in my mind and know, doggone it, why didn't I just sit in robust and run power till the cows come home, or get in one of our other power sets and run the ISO or the speed option. When thinking back instantly after a game that's not gone well, my gosh, we ran speed option twice, and each time it was for more than 15 yards, and I didn't go back to it. What is wrong with you, Lou? You know, it's that type of reflection when I say it's something I didn't do. And, you know, I've mentioned the Rose Hill playoff game, and we're up 13-0. And one more touchdown puts us up 20. And the game's probably, for all intent and purposes, over. And I'm upset at myself. I can see the scenario playing out. And there was a couple of plays I should have called. I didn't. And I say we didn't get in the end zone, not because of our lack of execution with what I did call, is that I didn't put our guys in the best position. There was a position that was better, and I missed it until I did a little bit of soul searching after the game. And I mean immediately after the game. I'm walking up to do the radio show and up the stairs. It dawns on me, gosh, you missed that. So, yeah, I'm going to take ownership of it, but it really does come down to chewing that down. And now how do I prevent that type of thing? It's a crapshoot. I mean, I feel like you go into a game as a coach prepared, and but you've got to listen to that little voice inside you. And sometimes I'm bad about it. Am I seeing that the way it's looking? And trusting, you know, have to be loose enough but focused enough to know, oh, man, we're not doing that. Oh, gee, that's what we need to do. And so the preventative part I pull from our coaching staff. You know, are we hitting this enough? You know, we come in debrief after practice. Did we emphasize this enough and get their feedback on it? And certainly our quarterback, Kellen Gibson, he's in constant communication. I want to know what the linemen think. You know, because, guys, well, I've got a pretty good view of things, but I'm not on that field. I may see a guy that looks like a defensive lineman that's in a three technique, and he's more head up. And those are the things that you've got to be conscious of and ask your players what's happening. So I hope I've answered that, Bob. But when I say I miss something or it's on me, that's where mentally I am. Special teams and then calling the offense.
You know, a question that good, Monty, didn't come from Bob.
That's my son, Jeff, and he occasionally asks a decent question.
I apologize. You guys sound an awful lot alike.
So I was just sitting here thinking as you were answering that question, and we appreciate your time. And, you know, there's a lot of people who love football. I've met a lot of them over my years. There's no one I've met who loves the game of football more than you. It just comes across every time I've talked to you. It's just obvious. And keep doing what you're doing, man, because you love it and you're good at it. And Winfield's lucky to have you.
Hey, coming from you, that means a lot. And you got a little tear going in my eye. You know that about me, Bob. And I love it's in my blood. This game is in my blood, and I'm going to coach it as long as I feel like I'm effective. And, again, I've got plenty more years in me, and I feel like we're riding out a pretty good season as long as we take it one Friday at a time.
All right. Well, there's so much. I wanted to ask you about Winfield, but we'll get you on later in the season because Winfield's near and dear to me. I was born there. My family's from there, and I know it's near and dear to you as well. We'll talk about that next time, okay, Monty?
All right. Listen, I thank you both from the bottom of my heart. I love you. Appreciate your time.
Thank you, Monty. Monty Lewis, head football coach at Winfield, and just simply one of the best interviews ever.
I've always loved talking to him. And
here's Mike Furches. He's with us on most Wednesdays to talk pop culture. Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Jeff, Bob, you know as well. Isn't Steely Dan opening up for the Eagles right now?
No, not in Vegas.
Not anymore.
Well, okay.
They did.
They did the first of the tour. I have a buddy that went to see him in Vegas and said it was amazing. Said that the Sphere was just absolutely amazing.
I have a person sitting in my chair right now who said they stink.
No, I didn't say that.
In my chair.
What do you mean?
I think they're awful. They're awful live.
Oh, Steely Dan?
Terrible.
He's talking about the Eagles.
No, I thought he was talking about Steely Dan.
He has a buddy who saw the Eagles at the Sphere who thought they were amazing.
Well, of course they were amazing.
Are you losing your ability?
Well, then why are we talking about Steely Dan?
Well, he changed the topic. Mike, what's going on with Jeff? What's your theory?
I was wondering. I was sitting there thinking, Jeff's saying the Eagles stink. I can't believe it.
No,
I was
not.
Thrown off too. I don't get it.
I would never say that, and I'll see him in 3 weeks and have a wonderful time.
So anyway, I asked Mike to come up with some talking points when we have him on because he's immersed in pop culture and many other things. And you mentioned the America's Got Talent finals, and I don't watch that show, so I'm going to have you break it down. Tell me, does America Got Talent?
Please don't take this wrong, anybody. But it's amazing that on the America's Got Talent, we have talent from all over the world. It's not just America. So there's that to kick off. But I love the show. I think I've seen every episode of every season. And, everybody remembers the Susan Boyle on Britain's Got Talent. That here's this kind of homely lady that comes out that has this incredible voice. And the same thing in an American stylized version of it happened this year. And I don't know how to describe it, but this guy comes out. He's a janitor at an elementary school, and he's a little big to say. You know, not trying to do any kind of shaming here, but he's a big guy, and he just doesn't look like he can sing. And from the very first episode in the auditions, he sings "Can't Stop Believing," I think is what it is. And he is amazing. He ends up winning it, but the talent, there was a dog act. I swear the dog, they ended up coming in, I think third or fourth, the dog act did in the season. And that dog, I think his name was Rhythm. I'm sure his name was Rhythm. It was amazing. I've never seen a dog do the things, literally dancing with its owner. It was absolutely amazing. So it's a fun show, but when you see a guy, he's a janitor in a school that can sing and ends up winning it all, and got married last week to his longtime girlfriend. And it's just it was an amazing show. It's a lot of fun. And it's – how can I say this? In a world where we get so indwelled with politics and everything that's going on, it's just nice to see something good happen to, what seems like a good guy. But that was really good this year. And for those that – watch it, they'll know what I'm talking about, and I think they would agree with me.
Seems like it's be right up our alley, but I just haven't watched much of America's Got Talent. I don't know why.
Not a big Howie Mandel guy. Is he still on it?
Well, yeah, he's still on it. I think he does fine. And, you know, Simon Cowell's toned down a lot. And I think that Terry Crews is the best host on television. I did not like Tyra Banks way back when she did it. But Terry Crews is just great. And it's a fun show, and they do a good in-depth job of telling the story of the characters. So it was a long season. They had a comedian from Africa, Lynmore Janassi. Look out for him. I think he ended up coming in fifth in the competition. But look out, this guy's going to be huge as a comedian. So just it was hilarious. And I think he's the highest-placing comedian, if not one of the highest in the history of the show, which has been going on close to 20 years now.
Mike, I got a question for you. The Vince McMahon documentary came out today on Netflix. I don't think you're a wrestling person, so that's why I'm asking you if you'll watch it. I'm trying to get a feel, however anecdotal it might be, on whether people who don't watch wrestling will watch a six-hour series on Vince McMahon.
Well, I think your assumption that I don't like wrestling, I go way back to the days of the Mid-South, back when Hacksaw Jim Duggan was wrestling, but way back beyond that to Hacksaw Jim, well, I said Hacksaw, I'm trying to think of the guy with chains, the black guy.
Hercules?
Hercules.
A lot of guys way with chains.
I mean, just a lot of those guys. So
Junkyard Dog.
Sport. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, Junkyard Dog. I love the sport, and while it is sports entertainment, I call it a sport. These guys are athletes. The storylines, it's a soap opera for guys. I love it, and I look forward to every one of them that comes out. I don't get to pay to watch them, and I'm not invited to go watch them any place because I'm not going to pay the $60 or more. But I do end up watching all of them and keep track with it. And Vince McMahon he and his wife and that whole company. On the history of the sport, I got a buddy, Aaron Swayze, up in Nebraska now, who's a huge wrestling fan and wrestled at Central Oklahoma collegiate style. So I'm looking forward to it and seeing what they do with the Jim Mann caricature in a way that is. So I'm looking forward to it, Jeff, and I probably will watch that in the next couple of nights.
Mike Purchase with us. I don't know how much you're into Saturday Night Live. I don't know that we've talked about it much. I love the show. Not every sketch is great. I get that. But I like to see who they're going to bring out as hosts and musical guests. And this is the 50th year. And their first host is Jean Smart, who just got showered with Emmy Awards for her role in Hacks. And has been around, obviously, for a long time. Back to Designing Women is when I first became aware of her. And it's great to see her get this recognition. She's an older actress in her 70s and still viable, still making it happen. Do you like her?
Yes. I still love and enjoy Saturday Night Live. I don't think you can tell the history of American comedy in television or movies without including a huge chapter dedicated to Saturday Night Live and its contribution in so many ways. But she's amazing. I mean, it's like Angela Lansbury, you know, her age, but she's still just, she is amazing. But you're looking at her from a comedian's perspective, and the fact that she's getting recognized and honored, as so many on those cast over the years have deserved, is a good thing to see.
And then they're bringing back Nate Bargatze for week two, and he's probably my favorite comedian currently, although John Mulaney would be in that group, and he's going to host one of the first five shows too. Stevie Nicks is going to be on as a musical guest. Michael Keaton. I'm looking forward to it. I like it.
It's a good season. I'm still kind of partial to the original, you know, John Belushi and Dan Aykroyd and all those guys. But they all, even Pete Davidson, you know, when he was in Wichita, some of the things I was reading about him and how he was interacting with the fans, It was he really seems like a decent guy that has had some issues in the past. But the cast, they've always got a ringer on that cast, or two or three. And I don't think this season is going to be any different. And so,
Mike, go ahead.
Go ahead. And the commentary that they make, it is some of it is so important to get people to think. And a lot of people don't like that, but I do.
I saw on your Facebook post that you were going to talk game shows. I assume that was one of the talking points today. So what game shows are you into? Because I know The Floor's coming back. That's today. Are you excited about that one?
Well, to be honest, I've not watched it, Jeff. I was thinking about game shows.
Oh, my
goodness. I was thinking primarily of things like America's Got Talent, which I think is a game type of show. The game shows that I enjoy is I enjoy some of the old classics. I watch probably three times a week The Price is Right, things of that nature. And, I just like seeing regular folks do well, and I think you get to see that more so on those kind of shows. And don't
you should watch like Lucky 13.
I have seen Lucky 13. It's good. I liked Deal or No Deal back when it was on. I love going to the arcade and playing that Deal or No Deal game at the mall. But there's a lot of good ones that are out there.
All right, Mike, any more ELO on your calendar?
Well, absolutely. I'm looking at going to Dallas for sure. I was wanting to try to go to Denver. I don't want to fight Denver traffic, but probably Dallas for sure. And I'm
looking at Dallas traffic better.
Well,
yeah, Dallas traffic is way worse.
The Denver show's like on a weekday. The Dallas show's on a Friday night, so I can go down on a Friday through the day, spend the night, and enjoy the weekend. And I really want to try to find a way to go to Inglewood, California, which will be their last show, and. It's kind of hard to imagine that, but supposedly it's going to be the last touring show that they ever do, and so I'd kind of like to be there for that. So that's my plans at this point.
All right, good to catch up. Thank you. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, take care.
Thanks.
Mike Furches, our good friend. We'll be back, hour number two. We'll talk about this UNLV thing. NIL bites the real world here a little bit. I don't know what to make of it. We'll banter it around a little bit. Terry Nooner will join us, Wichita State women's basketball coach. Stay with us, Bob and Jeff, KFH.
Hey, hey, what time is it, kids?
This is the Bob and Jeff Show, starring Bob Lutz.
When it's radio, it's just those words are gone. Everything we do here, it's in a vacuum.
Jeff Lutz.
I have something against most older people's ideas. They just don't have any. We're at the top of pretty much everything. And here are boomers. Hey, I got my house and my Social Security, and I'm good.
97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Your visit is always discreet.
Stand by for action.
All right, we are back. Hour number two, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio. Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, your co-host. Max Power Producers and Engineers, 869-1240, the IHOP hotline. So UNLV quarterback Matthew Sluka, the Rebels off to a 3-0 start. Looked like a possibility to get into the college football playoff. And the quarterback today announced he's leaving because the school has not met its NIL responsibility or commitment. So he's out.
He gone.
And all kinds of maneuvering here. The school says one thing. The player says another. His dad is on, obviously, the side of the player. The agent. Everybody weighing in. No signed deal. So it was mostly just, you come to play at UNLV.
We'll give you $100,000.
We got $100,000. And they say that commitment was made by one of the assistant coaches, and UNLV says we still plan on honoring that commitment, but we just haven't quite gotten around to it. It's just there is no blueprint for any of this, and it's a disaster. And unless they get some kind of guidelines in place, guardrails, unless we start to gain an understanding of how these agreements are come to, They better start operating like,
I guess,
the real pro sports. But then when they do that, they become a lesser version of the real pro sports. And where does that leave college sports?
I guess I don't understand what guardrails or guidelines there could potentially be. We're now in a capitalist.
Have them in pro sports.
Not really.
You sign a contract.
Right. He didn't sign a contract.
Right. So let's sign a contract.
They entered into a potentially a verbal contract.
That should not be happening.
And once he felt like that was broken, he left.
If you want the kid, you sign him to a deal.
I don't know. I don't know how that all works or how that's supposed to work.
It works like it does in Major League Baseball or NFL.
Yeah, but if someone doesn't pay you and said they would or signed a contract
that
they would,
then they're liable for that.
Then maybe you can quit.
No, that shouldn't happen. That's my point.
Probably shouldn't happen.
There have to be mandates and rules in place so that this kind of stuff, yeah, I'll come play for you. You're going to give me $100,000? Great. I don't need an agreement. Hey, thank you, buddy. I'm looking forward to it. Hey, wait, it's week three. I've gotten $3,000. What's going on?
So he went. He went to the head coach, I'm sure, and said, "Hey, this assistant told me I was getting $100,000. What's up with that? Where's that coming from?" And the coach said, "Yeah, well, we didn't all agree to that. That was just said by some guy on my staff. I'm not."
No, if that's what happened,
that's what happened.
UNLV ought to be banished from the. There's no way.
Of course.
That he went. No, there's no way.
He just said that an assistant is the guy who told him. He didn't say the head coach.
And
so,
I'm sure all have been aware.
I don't know.
On the head coach today.
But I'm sure the head coach still has been like, well, that's not something that we agreed to, me and you.
I don't know what the head coach said.
Of this program.
Dave Odom has a great reputation.
And you're not getting $100,000.
I doubt that that's how it went down.
I bet that's what happened.
That's so...
90-10, that's what happened.
No.
Then tell me, how did it happen?
He just never got paid.
And never talked to anyone about it.
It was an agreement. Listen. If you're a player and you're going to go play at a school like UNLV and some assistant coach says, we're going to give you $100,000, and you don't have somebody verify that, validate it through the school, then you're a moron.
I don't know. I don't know how.
If somebody offered you $100,000 and didn't ask you to sign a contract for it, well, they weren't on the hook for it legally. Then, are you signing that? What are you doing?
I'm going, and then in 3 weeks, if they hadn't paid me, I'm gone. Thanks anyway. But
so you're gonna affect your image, and you're gonna bring
pristine.
All this wrath on yourself.
How am I bringing
for no
it on
reason.
Myself?
Have you seen the response to this young man? Have you seen it?
He's doing what's best for him.
Are you paying attention to it?
I don't care how people are responding to him.
Are you paying attention to it?
Don't care how people respond to him. That's the internet.
We don't know the real story here. You're buying into his version of it.
Right.
But you don't know. That's the problem. No one knows.
Well,
no one knows how this went down. No one knows what should have happened or
I'm
what has happened.
I'm more inclined to believe that a payment
but
was
it doesn't
missed.
Matter what you're most inclined to believe.
And he's not just
going to
quit a 3-0 team for no reason.
It doesn't matter what you're inclined to believe.
Then what are we talking about?
I don't know. That's the problem with this. There's no paperwork. There's no contract. There seems to be nothing to go on except these conflicting stories from both camps.
What is UNLV's story?
This can't continue.
What is UNLV's story? Because when I read this story earlier, UNLV, I don't think I'd commented. So I don't know what UNLV's side of the story is, or if Dave Odom has commented, or anyone in the athletic program.
UNLV Athletics interpreted these demands as a violation of the NCAA pay-per-play rules, as well as Nevada state law. UNLV does not engage in such activity, nor does it respond to implied threats. UNLV has honored all previously agreed-upon scholarships for Matthew Sluka. UNLV has conducted its due diligence and will continue to operate its programs within the framework of NCAA rules and regulations as well as Nevada state law. That's the response from UNLV, which conflicts with...
Right, so there was assertion. Can't fire me, I quit.
Why don't you understand that my point here is you can't have this kind of confusion. And this is what NIL...
Then I put that on the adults, that there was confusion.
Sure.
I'm not going to put that on the... Now, he's an adult, too, but I'm not going to put that on the player. I'm not going to put that on him. If there was confusion and you got him there under some kind of false pretenses, that's on the adults, and that's on the coaches.
What did the kid say to his parents?
They said they'd pay me $100,000.
And what did the parents say?
Oh, wow.
And then what?
You came from Holy Cross, and now you get
to... And then what?
Head on over there, Lucas, or whatever.
Wait a minute. The parent didn't say... How do you know they're going to pay you $100,000?
Of course
not.
Who
told you they're going to play $100,000? No. Jeff, I can't believe you sometimes.
No, they didn't. Someone
just said, that's great, Matthew. Have fun.
If I come here and tell you, hey, KWCH is giving me a $20,000 raise, you wouldn't say, who's doing that? You'd say, awesome.
I would presume that they'd taken care of their obligation.
Right.
But with this, I don't presume anything.
His parents probably believed, wow, you get just like he'd say that if I got a full ride.
You're giving this kid a pass?
I'm saying it's more on the...
They told me they're going to give me $100,000. I think I'll go over there and play for them.
Yeah.
And without anything written down.
I think if there was confusion, that's on the coaches. And that's on the athletic program. Let's get Kevin Saul on, see what he thinks. We had him on yesterday. Call him up.
I'll get him on again. I know what he'd think.
I guarantee you he'd put that on the athletic department.
I guarantee you that if Wichita State is dropping $100,000 on a player, they're documenting it beyond reproach.
There, you're on to something, aren't you? Who's doing that?
Both sides.
The adults are making those T's are crossed.
This isn't
I's
adult.
Are dotted.
This is
you
a
know
college?
What I'm saying.
No, I don't know what
Who's
you're
more
saying.
Impressionable, the 22-year-old Holy Cross
Jeff,
transfer?
How old was Ronald Acuna Jr. when he signed his deal with the Atlanta Braves?
I don't know. He signed
Look
a bad
into
deal.
It. Look
Doesn't
into
matter.
It.
College athletes are different than Ronald Acuna. Who had been dealing?
Well, they better not be because this is a new era.
Who had been dealing in pro sports since he was 16?
The college athlete better be adept at dealing with this stuff.
Well, and they're not yet.
And if they're not, this is what happens.
Especially
to them.
A Holy Cross transfer. It's not like this guy was coming from Alabama. He was coming from Holy Cross, and he probably said, "Holy cow, I'm getting $100,000."
Do you just like to argue? Is that
no,
basically
it? No, I believe
it? You really believe this?
Yes.
It's astounding to me.
Well, you don't have an 18-year-old who would probably someone tells them they're got $100,000 for you over here. She's on the next flight.
And what would you say?
Oh, awesome!
Really? That's what you'd do.
Sure.
You wouldn't ask how'd this come about.
No way. What,
do you have a?
I'd say, do I get a cut?
Do you have an agreement on this? You do have an 18. So she'd come to you and say, hey, I got this opportunity to go do this. They're going to give me $100,000.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't ask any questions.
I would ask questions, but
what would you ask?
I wouldn't ask any. If she said, hey, the New York fashion school is giving me $100,000 to come do a special project for them, I'd say, yeah, what's the project? I wouldn't say, really? You're getting $100,000 for that? I would believe that a reputable organization was going to follow through on what it said. And you're welcome for that.
you would not even ask the question, well, can I read the contract? I think we ought to get this looked at.
I don't think so. She's an adult.
You just said 22 wasn't an adult.
I said it's on the adults. It's on the coaches.
Is she an adult?
It's on the professionals. How about that?
So you'll trust the professionals?
No.
That are telling Aaron... They're going to give her $100,000.
Yeah, and if they don't,
and you'll put her on a plane and say, "Go get them."
Yeah, and if they don't, she gone. We're not standing for that crap.
And you wouldn't
tell me I'm.
You wouldn't ask her to
six make, figures.
Make sure this is real.
No, because why would I,
Jeff?
I can't believe.
Why would I? It's coming from a reputable. It's not like, you know, hey, this guy down the street is giving me $100,000. It's UNLV. Why would he just make that up? Yeah, I would trust my child.
Does the assistant coach have the authority?
He told me everybody was okay with it.
Let me talk.
I'm answering you.
Wouldn't you wonder? Okay, the assistant coach tells him he's going to get $100,000. What authority does the assistant coach have here? I maybe want to find that out. It looks bad for everybody: player, parent, agent, school, everybody.
Right.
This is bad for everybody.
But you said earlier that everyone knows about it and that it didn't get past Dave Odom. Then he must have known when he set foot on campus that someone agreed to pay this kid $100,000, or that he believed that.
You would certainly think.
So there you go. It's on. I want to get back to
your
professionals.
This frightens me.
Why?
So she can just walk into the house someday and say, "Hey, guess what? This Flower and Beauty Art Institute, they want to give me $100,000 to come."
Yeah, I would say that's awesome. Yeah. What do they have you doing? I would never question the money. If someone told her that, I would, from a reputable and highly thought of institute of higher learning, I'd be like, yeah, cool. What's the project? How long is it going to take? I wouldn't go, really? Do they have $100,000 to give you?
You wouldn't say, have you signed a paper? I'd like our attorney.
No,
to look at this
and
make sure everything's
over $100,000. I'm paying.
Sure,
I'm paying attorney 20% to look at a barely.
I don't know what you're paying an attorney. Just
a lot.
Just let's take a look at this and make sure it's real.
I believe that it's real.
That poor kid. I may have to.
The kid should have believed that it's real.
I may have to step in and raise her.
And his parents.
My God.
We're not wrong to believe that it was real.
Talk to your wife.
In an era of NIL, I mean, I'm sure. Kids go home to their parents all the time. This car company's giving me $4 million. And, okay, yeah, that's awesome.
You better have it nailed down if you're going to.
Is that my problem?
Of course it is.
As the parent, or?
Of course it is.
What's the damage if it's not? I mean.
This? You don't think this is damaging to everybody? This is damaging. This is what happens.
It's more damaging to UNLV.
I don't know.
I put on 100%.
But the statement they put out is a pretty valid one.
Could be.
It might be damning to the coaching staff.
But it's also.
Or it might be damning. Let me talk. You're not even listening.
I am listening.
I was
responding.
I think ultimately. This is a matter of nobody being on the same page, empty promises
being
made.
And who is that on ultimately?
And if you think that's one case, until there are guidelines and stipulations on how this all works, we're going to have this commonplace.
I give you.
All right.
No, hold on. I have a question. Can I ask the question? I have 100 points of responsibility. Here, you get to divvy them out to the parents.
I don't know enough about it.
And the coaches.
I don't know enough about it.
But who do you think?
I don't know.
I do.
I honestly don't know. This has to play out. Who I blame is that we got way ahead of ourselves on all this stuff, and it's going to continue to bite us because we just jumped in, and nobody really knows how it works. Nobody knows the rules. If you want to blame somebody, I guess you just blame college sports. All right, we'll take a break. Terry Nooner, we'll get his opinion on this. Terry Nooner, women's basketball coach at Wichita State, will join us next. He's involved in the NIL world. I'm curious to know. I'd love to have Kevin Saul on to address this because – it's fascinating to me. Back in a minute.
At
Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kids' legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Imagine you're watching the game at a buddy's house when you get a call that someone tried to break into yours. In a second, everything can change. That's why there's ADT. No one wants to feel unsafe in their own home. ADT security systems help keep your home safe with 24/7 monitoring. The ADT Plus app keeps you in control the whole time. ADT's network is built for those game-time moments. They have the most company-operated monitoring centers in the industry. Don't leave your home wide open during an emergency. When every second counts, count on ADT. Visit ADT.com or call 1-800-ADT-ASAP.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
KFH.
Here's Terry Nooner, head women's basketball coach at Wichita State. The Shockers have begun practice. They have an exhibition game coming up in a little over a month against Northeastern State, and then they open the season at home against Oklahoma Christian on November 4th. Coach Nooner, hello, welcome.
Hey, how you doing? Good to be on with you guys.
So you're a busy guy. You've got your own team to worry about here, but I wanted to ask you about this NIL stuff because it's just pervasive in college sports. And the situation we've seen today with the quarterback at UNLV deciding to leave his team because, in his opinion, their commitment had not been met. So he leaves a team that's 3-0. Does that send shivers down your spine a little bit? How do you feel about all that?
I mean, I just think it's I think at some point that we feel like there's going to have to be some type of legislation from the NCAA or somebody just to put some type of guardrails on the whole system. I mean, I understand and I agree that I think that players need to be able to receive some type of compensation for, you know, their name, image, and likeness, and but you just want it to be some type of rules or something on it, just so that it can be even across the board. I think will be best.
Yeah, it's definitely a slippery slope. But I want to talk about your team now, and you brought back several of your key players. You went into the transfer portal. You recruited a lot. So, what were your goals going into the offseason about building this roster and giving it maybe a little bit of a different look?
I mean, I think for us, the biggest things is there were a bunch of specific skill set areas that I think we kind of lacked last year. Probably the biggest, I would say, would probably be outside shooting. Rebounding, I would say, would be some. But I think what we decided as a staff is we wanted to just bring kids that kind of met like a certain kind of motto. They had to work hard. They had to, you know, be gym rat type kids. They had to be competitors. They had to be people that kind of play with a chip on their shoulders. And I think within that, that's what we targeted within the kids. And I think within that, we added a little more shooting. We wanted to add a lot more speed and playmaking, which we did.
We added size, so that's going to improve the rebounding. But at our core and our foundation, we want to be the hardest working team every single night. And everybody we play, we want to kind of hang our hats on the fact that we work harder and we're more well-conditioned than the teams that we play. And I think we've done that.
Terry Nooner, our guest, the head women's basketball coach at Wichita State. So this, it's always been an interesting dynamic with women's basketball at Wichita State. I've often said, and I've been around here a long time, I've often said, I think this is a sleeping giant. I think that Wichita State women's basketball can be something that may, if not fills Coke Arena, certainly gets it three quarters full on a consistent basis. But it just doesn't happen. Do you feel the same way? Do you think this is something that can really take off under the right circumstances?
Of course, I think it's. I mean, I actually, as you say that, so I have like a big frame picture on my wall. It's from March 1st, 2014, when the guys were 31-0 and they were playing against Missouri State, and it was. Like it was a sea of yellow. It was packed all the way to the rafters. And I look at that picture every day because that's kind of like me just establishing my vision and goals for what I want our program to grow to. But I think we can. I think if you put a great product out on the floor, I think our city just loves people that are tough and gritty and that are underdogs and that play with a lot of heart and fight. And I believe if we can put that kind of product on the floor, I think we're going to get the kind of support from the fans that we need. Because right now, I mean, women's basketball is hot. I mean, last year in college athletics, probably the two most famous or most popular players in college sports last year was Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, who were women's basketball players. So I think the sport is growing. We've seen the numbers that the WNBA has put up since Caitlin Clark has gotten to the league. And as we've shown that if we get the amount of support in our sport, that we can put a great product out there. So that's what we're planning to do with my program.
So now that you've started practice, and I know it's been limited, there hasn't been much time yet, but does it look like the team that you envisioned? Does it look like a gritty team, or do they look like they have chips on their shoulders? Is that vision being fulfilled in your mind so far? I know it's very early.
Yeah, it really is. I think, and I think you can see it with. I think we'll have a little bit more depth than we had last year. It's kind of the head of it, I would say, in any, like saying the defensive style is going to be your point guards. And I think us adding Taylor Jameson, who's a kid from Wichita Heights that transferred back home for her last year from George Mason, and then we have a freshman kid named Kylia Parr. That was two-time state champion and two-time MVP in Texas in 5A the last 2 years. And I think they're kind of like the heart and soul of our defense and that whole kind of tenacity. Both of them were probably about 5'5 and 5'6, but they're tough and gritty and scrappy. And both of those young ladies are at the heart and at the top of what we're going to do defensively. And they both probably had the biggest chips on their shoulders than anybody that we had.
Talking now with Terry Nooner. He is the women's basketball coach at Wichita State. I like what you've done with your non-conference schedule. You've mixed in a lot of games against intriguing opponents, including Missouri State. You mentioned Missouri State. They're coming back to play here at Coke Arena. You've got a home game as well against Oklahoma. You're playing Creighton in a tournament in Florida, and then you've got the game at Kansas, your alma mater. So what was the philosophy in putting together this schedule?
I think we wanted to make sure we challenge ourselves, of course, and then just from our administration and my kind of theory on it as you build a program, we want to schedule to a point where – if we win how we're supposed to win, that we schedule well enough to be able to receive an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament. So I know it's only my second year, but that's still kind of like our philosophy here. And so I thought we did a good job of with Oklahoma coming here and being able to play Belmont, too, at home, who's going to be great in their league, and Missouri State is going to be great in their league, and Creighton is always nationally ranked. And So I think we did a good job of challenging ourselves, but I think we got good opportunities to play good competition that I think we really can compete with.
You talked about your couple backcourt players and mentioned, you know, they're 5'5", 5'6". Is there still a place for 5'5", 5'6" players in women's basketball? I know getting taller and bigger all the time, but what do those type of players have to do to succeed?
Just be, I mean, tough. They're both tough. They're fast. And no matter what, no matter, and if you ever meet them, if you make any remarks about their height, they really take it personal. And they just, and to a point where it's just, they just believe in themselves. And you know, the game really now isn't really a post-up game as much as it used to be. And both of those young ladies, even when we're practicing against our practice guys, and they'll try to post them up, but they're so scrappy and tough and strong and quick that they just don't let that deter them that their height is low. Both of those two young ladies probably also have our highest verticals on the team. So even though they're short in height, they're big in stature and hard and grit and that kind of stuff.
Well, we appreciate the forewarning on not asking them about their size if we get them on the show. Let me ask you this, Terry. You've talked about your guard play. What's it look like in your front court? Because you do have some players with size, obviously.
Yes.
How much do you expect these players to contribute?
Well, I expect a lot. Like probably our last kid we signed was a kid named Aishan Endure. Was a 6'6 kid that kind of went through some injuries. She transferred in from Illinois, but she's mobile, great body, left-handed. She has touch to, you know, the high post. She can even, in a workout, she can make some threes, but just a big physical presence who will be able to rebound. She can run. She can guard ball screens. She blocks shots. So she's going to be huge for us. We also added a junior college kid named Ie Sissoko that came from Cloud County. And she was probably she was one of the junior colleges. Like, she was top five, I believe, in rebounding. She averaged about 15 to 16 rebounds a game last year and just has an unbelievable motor. And she plays super duper hard and she's athletic and bouncy. And then also Jayla Murray, who started a lot for us as the four last year. She's over a year removed from her ACL injury, and she's looking deadly as a forward. And then a kid named Breon White that we brought in from the transfer to us from TCU. So with Jayla and Breon, if we ever play teams that try to play small, we can play those two as our four and our five, and we match up with people perfectly.
Before we let you go, I wanted to ask you one more question. We're talking with Terry Nooner of the Wichita State women's basketball. You've obviously played at a high level collegiately. I've followed basketball my entire life, as Jeff has. Did you ever think we'd get to a point, especially this suddenly, where the most famous player in the world is a woman, and deservedly so, Caitlin Clark? It's just remarkable to me.
No, I think probably not as much when I played, but I think once I started – I started coaching a group of girls, and actually my recruiting coordinator, she played for me. She's 29 now, Brooke Cosley. She actually played for me when I first started coaching with the girls. So I've been knowing her since she's 12 years old. But back then, once I started coaching those young ladies, and one thing the parents told me is don't coach them like girls, treat them like athletes. And so that was kind of my mindset. But I think just me seeing how good the game grew from me being able to coach and started from the grassroots level and seeing that the type of potential it had and understanding the skill level that we had in our game, I thought we had all of the potential. And I mean, Caitlin Clark was a kid that I was talking to and recruiting when I was at Maryland as assistant coach. So we could kind of see those kids coming up the ranks, and we knew that if they did what they were supposed to do potential-wise, it could really blow our sport up.
Well, it has, for sure. Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure to talk with you, and we'll get you on hopefully before the season begins.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys soon.
Thanks.
All right, Terry Nooner, Wichita State women's basketball coach.
Who can disagree more with Jim Rome on the bunt situation? I know you got Betts and Freeman also, but you bunt and you have runners at second and third.
You got to give it context.
Well, he was just talking about it. The Dodgers down,
Miguel,
I believe.
Miguel Rojas hit into a triple play to end the game last night.
Yes.
Bunt the ball.
It was 4-2. Runners on first
get,
and
get
second.
Get those runners in scoring
obviously
position.
Obviously no outs. You get them to second and third. They don't pitch to Shohei.
And they pitched him up.
Yeah, what? And with a double play in order, nothing has changed.
Let's go ahead and get the bunt down. I'm in complete agreement with Rome.
No, you're not.
Yeah, I am. I completely am.
There's no way. So you don't want Shohei to bat?
No, I want Mookie Betts to bat and Freddie Freeman to bat.
I guess.
Yeah. Even though they didn't do a whole lot in that game last night. I get it. So on another baseball note, what the heck's going on with the Pittsburgh Pirates not giving Rowdy Tellez four more plate appearances?
Pretty weak.
Get him a couple hundred grand. Tell him thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty terrible.
And then for Ben Cherington to act like, oh, this had nothing to do with that. Shut up. And let me tell you what else you needed to do. If you want to cut Rowdy Tellez and say, you know, we've got five games left, we're going to give these opportunities to younger guys.
Give him his $200,000 anyway.
You give him $200,000.
I agree. He didn't really do anything to – he has had a bad September, but that's 1 month. He had three really good months.
Yeah, he's okay. He was nothing. I mean, he's a guy you bring in, you hope you get 20 homers, 25 homers maybe, a little pop in your lineup. But you give the guy a couple hundred grand, which is a drop in the bucket. Even for the Pirates.
Just make sure.
How do you think Paul Skeens looks at that?
Probably doesn't like it. And probably other people, not that the Pirates deal in high-dollar free agents, but just makes your organization look terrible. No one ever would want to go there.
It's the worst PR move in the world. You morons in Pittsburgh. I'm so mad. I'm even mad at Ted Woodward. Longtime Pirates fan. I mean, what do you think?
I bet he's mad.
What are you thinking, Ted? And when I call him Ted, he knows something's
well,
up.
That is his name.
Well, I usually call him Ball Game or...
I've never heard you call him Ball Game.
Teddy.
Maybe Teddy occasionally, but never Ball Game.
I've called him Ball Game forever.
Teddy Ball Game?
No, I just call him Ball Game.
I don't think so. I don't think that's happened.
Well, ask him.
I will.
I've called him Theo. But rarely Ted, unless I'm upset with him.
It's not his fault.
But he's associated. It's guilt by association.
I don't think so.
If the Cardinals did this, I don't know what I'd do.
You'd be ashamed.
I would be.
But you wouldn't expect others to be mad at you.
Maybe.
I don't know. The Pirates.
If the Guardians did it, I'd disown you.
Well,
how do you feel about that?
Maybe they should do it then.
How do you feel about that?
Do you own me?
No, I disown you.
Don't you have to own to disown?
I do own you.
You do?
It's obvious on this show.
Interesting.
Every day I own you. It's so blatant.
How much do you enjoy getting a different perspective on things?
I like different perspectives. What I don't like is ridiculous perspective.
There's nothing ridiculous about my perspective.
Sometimes there is.
Maybe. But you got to put yourself out there.
Royals got to win tonight, although Minnesota's making this too easy. They're not even putting up a fight.
You should be beating the Marlins.
They're not even putting up a fight right now.
Doesn't seem like it.
That's so disgusting. Who do I know that's a Twins fan?
Well, you know the Twins organization that resides right here in Wichita, Kansas.
Yeah, but is that guilt by association?
I don't know. Ask Tim Grubbs. He's still weighing in.
What do you mean he's still weighing in?
We have a group text.
What'd he say?
I'm not going to share that.
Well, no, I want to know.
I'll tell
why,
you off
and
the
why
air.
Why am I not on it?
I'll tell you. Why would you be on it? You don't work.
I'm a mainstream guy.
You don't work at the
stadium. I'm as mainstream as I get.
Well, come work at the stadium and you'll be on the text.
I'd be on every text chain in Wichita.
He hasn't said anything controversial, but being that he works for the organization, I would rather.
Well, he works for the Wind Surge. He doesn't work for the Twins. His check isn't signed by the Twins. His check is
He's
signed
in
by the
organization. He and me and Byron
you
Buxton.
Don't get, your check isn't
our,
signed
our
by
colleagues.
No, your check isn't signed by the Twins.
It isn't?
There's not one member of the Twins.
I thought Carl Pohlad.
Who knows you are alive?
Is Carl Pohlad still alive?
If you were to tragically, and I don't want this to happen, if something terrible was to happen to you,
you don't think the Twins would send?
Wouldn't send a wreath.
They wouldn't send a rep to the funeral.
No, of course
not. One of the best official scorers in our organization.
You're not in their organization.
Has fallen. Whose organization am I in?
You're in the Wind Surge organization.
Interesting.
See what I mean?
What organization?
Do you really think you work for the Twins?
Oh, yeah.
No, be honest.
Does Zebby Matthews, did he work for the Twins?
Be honest, Jeff. Do you work for the Minnesota Twins?
Does Luke Keyshaw work
for them? Who signs your check?
I don't know.
You never look at it?
I get a direct deposit. I haven't gotten a check from them, I don't think, ever. But I assume...
I think you're kidding. I'm almost sure you're kidding.
But I assume Carl Pohlad signed.
Now I know. I'm fairly sure you're kidding.
He's still alive.
Or, and I hate to say this, if you're not kidding...
Well, I think I can get a PDF.
You might be the person
ever. I think I can get
ever.
A PDF of my check. And yeah, Jim Pohlad as the owner. He signed it. On the PDF.
Why are you ending the show like this?
I don't know. Why
like
not?
A moron. I don't get it. I don't understand
Joe
Pohlad's people.
The day-to-day, but Jim is the owner.
I don't understand people who are willing to make themselves look bad.
Carl, God rest his soul.
I don't get it. Can you explain it
How
to
does
me?
That make me look bad? By being in the Twins organization.
You look like you don't know anything.
Do you think they consider me a traitor because I root for the Guardians?
I'm tired of this conversation. Why are you doing it?
I'm just asking questions.
I have a certain level of excellence.
You do? A certain level of, yeah. I agree, none.
That I try to attain on a daily basis.
That is a certain level.
In everything I do. That's always my goal.
Hard to tell, but we'll believe
it. Was
you.
I excellent today? Sometimes I fall short.
I feel like I was.
You were excellent today.
I feel like I was. Where did I miss the mark?
On the NIL, you were a blithering.
But I stated my opinions very clearly, which is all that matters. I didn't bumble around. I didn't, I think maybe.
You usually do that.
I came at you.
You usually do that, and that's unfortunate. We do not have a show tomorrow, and I will not be here Friday.
Devastating.
4-day weekend for yours truly, and I'm looking forward to it. Heck, I might take Monday off. Let me look at Monday.
You're not.
You never know.
I got Monday off.
You just never know. I may take Tuesday off.
I may take the whole week off. You can't keep me. You can't stop me from not coming. Right?
What?
You know what I mean.
What does that
mean? If I don't show up, then I took the day off, right? I don't have to show up.
So you wouldn't even tell me?
I do this out of the goodness of my heart.
You wouldn't even tell me?
I probably would tell you. But I'll also be here, so it doesn't really
matter. You have tried to compete with me for the last 30 years. Seriously.
You believe that, don't you?
No, I really do believe it. I know it.
I think you've tried to compete with me, sir.
No, I don't try to compete with, you know.
Nor do I.
I set my aspirations
to some level of excellence.
A little higher. No offense. You're doing a fantastic job.
Thank you.
We'll see you all on Friday. Have a good, good evening and a good day tomorrow. Thanks to Max back in the studio. See you soon.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to lowes.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit lowes.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport.
Realtek 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Realtek 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Identity Refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? MaintainX is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With MaintainX, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.